You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com. You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Hey guys, it's me again. Shout out to MJ BizCon, the biggest cannabis conference happening in Las Vegas, December 2nd through the 5th. We're building out our manufacturing and distributing project, creating real opportunities for brands and operators to connect and grow. If you want to get involved, reach out and be a part of it. It's going to be the hot market area. All right, back to the show.
We are here in Ohio at a regional conference. I like to refer to it as Lenny's conference because I love Lenny. His mom is down in VIP. Did you catch that?
Love her.
I love mom and pop shows. And Ohio is a great market. The market structure, as we know, supply chain structure right now allows for these conferences to exist. And so we'll see what happens. Things are going to change in this cannabis industry, state by state, country by country, internationally, all kinds of stuff in the next 50 years. We like to stay on top of that, bring you people, connect you with people who can help you navigate those worlds, or who can teach you or share with you, maybe make yourself available. I don't know if you do consulting on this, but he is one of the Ohio experts. I mean, you're like one of the go-to guys that knows more about the Ohio supply chain and market structure than just about anybody in this room.
Oh, I try to learn. I prefer to myself as a specialist rather than an expert, subject matter specialist.
Introduce yourself to the audience.
I'm Tim Johnson, the founder and CEO for Cannabis Safety First.
Tim, so what is, I think we caught up with you last year. We're here. How much has Ohio cannabis changed in regards to like the supply chain and the regulatory structures in the last year?
Supply chain since last year. Of course, you know, we went adult in 2023. We passed it in early 2024. We started the actual adult sales.
Right.
So now we're even up to the pre-roll. As far as the supply chain in Ohio, I don't see a problem with the production of what we have from all consumables to smokable products. Seems to be fine. Seems like everybody's doing well. We do have an issue with, I believe it's 14 standalone processors that we're working on right now, trying to make them vertical so that they have a fully sustainable business model.
Okay. Are we allowed to?
Well, they have to get their biomass from cultivators.
Yeah.
And if a cultivator decides, well, we don't want these guys to have a biomass product, so they can't make products, that's, you know, that's our competition. It kind of is what it is.
And, you know, God, this is one of those weird nuanced messes that happens when you have limited licensing and licensing caps, all this kind of stuff.
Yes.
Just briefly overview of the licensing structure in Ohio and where it's at and what's open.
The licensing structure in Ohio, we go, you know, with cultivator, processor, down to a dispensary. The typical business model to have is vertical integration. Then, of course, we have our testers. They're not allowed to own another license in Ohio.
Right.
Since they're a tester. Then we have independent dispensaries. Everybody's good with the single independent dispensary because that's where the product goes to get sold.
Right.
Pricing for renewal has come down. With Jim Knepper from the Division of Cannabis Control taking over here a couple of years ago. He's done a fantastic job, in my opinion, working with the legislators, promulgating, getting new rule packages out there. But what we've also seen is, as you said, Ohio's capped. So there aren't no cultivation, no processing licenses available in Ohio unless you buy them from ones that's existing.
Right.
We have 99 provisional dispensary licenses. That means all they have it, they're building out their facility, they just haven't done it yet.
Right.
And then I believe we're about 160 to 170 active dispensaries at this point in time. But there's several actual license, believe it or not, license holders, you know, different dispensary or a couple of tier models, vertical models that are for sale.
Really? What are those costs?
the cheapest one I see, which I'm not real sure. I still don't believe was about $6 million for a year or two with a one dispensary cultivation and processing. I have yet to verify that, but typically, no, you're up into the $20, $30, $40 million. If you get into a full tier one in Ohio, you could see $100 million or so.
Yeah, but that only comes with like one retail?
Yeah. Well, no. You could actually, after the passage of two, I think I bet vertical or the tier ones can have up to 8 dispensaries now.
Okay.
And I believe tier twos can have 5 dispensaries, I believe it is.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yeah. If you get a full package, it's different.
It drives me nuts. All these, and it's not just in Ohio, it's every state, all these different licensing structures and the way that, you know, the government and inadvertently well intended people are organizing cannabis. It just makes for just nonsense. Just like the one you're talking about with the processing people not having access to biomass.
Right.
You know, this is ridiculous.
It is, but that's one of the bills I introduced actually every year for the last probably 5 years. Introduced it again just last week, and that is to allow them to have the opportunity to purchase a smaller cultivation facility and 1 or 2 dispensaries. Go by the same rules that the people that have them now from the very beginning. We're not trying to shortcut any finances right. or any licensing or anything like that. But if they can, you know, apply for it and qualify, let's make it a sustainable business model for them. Give everybody a fair playing field.
Are you getting pushback from lobbyists of those who have to keep out those who want to have more?
Yeah, definitely. You're talking within the industry?
Yeah. I mean, the guy, Adam, somebody from the MPP, I was reading about this yesterday, said there's a special place in hell for those who would lobby against the freedom of this plant and for people to be able to grow it or expand their enterprises as they would so choose.
Very true. As far as pushback, other than external sources of different organizations that are still the stigma of cannabis and so forth, we have a problem in Ohio with internal license holders against license holders.
Yeah.
Rather than, one big happy family, everybody working together with each other for, the betterment of a full sustainable, industry in Ohio. We do have, and I'll leave the names and stuff out, but we do have a trade association and some members that feel as if they're more important, I believe, than others. And some of the things that they've done at the State House, some of the testimonies they've submitted and so forth, it's a definite move towards trying to monopolize the state of Ohio.
Yeah, I don't get into it like lobbying wise or actively politically, but the fact of the matter is, licensing structure, limited licensing caps, these are concepts that, if you take it to its logical extreme, you end up with like 15th century Europe.
Yes.
Okay. Which is like one, like Czechoslovakia. I don't even know if Czechoslovakia was around, but there's different kingdoms with a licensing structure, and the king owned all the commodities, all the services, all the goods under the king's license.
Right.
Okay. That's a very clever idea. Okay. But we're Americans.
Exactly.
And so this bothers me conceptually from principle level. I'm not going to hide from it. That doesn't mean I'm going to get actively involved and try to tear it down. But I'm just going to educate people.
Right.
The other thing that drives me nuts is that when you have these licensing structures, if you're about social equity, if you're about helping the poor, the uneducated, those with less, those who can't afford lawyers, those who can't afford lobbyists, those who can barely read a book, let them open up a lemonade stand on the street corner and sell something. Correct. You see what I'm saying? And so every time that we make things more complicated and make things more license oriented, we are inadvertently attacking the entrepreneurs, the dreams, and those and the hopes of the poor.
Right.
And it's like, does anybody realize this? And all the social equity people are trying to do licensing this, licensing that. This person should get this. Like, why aren't you talking about the fundamental problem? You know what I'm saying? And it's big philosophical stuff. We can chat over a beer.
Correct.
And what I like about guys like you is you're dealing with the reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, which is good. So my pie in the sky nonsense, although true in my principled opinion, if you want to share what you think, it's fine. You don't have to, but it's not realistic. You know what I'm saying? Because you live in reality.
Yeah. And I'll say, I'm not in the industry for the monetary value. This doesn't put food on my table. I'm technically retired. I've just spent the last 10 years at our state house doing what I believe was the right thing to do.
That's good.
But what I call in Ohio, we have the sandbox theory. It's kind of like the legislators at the state house. So all the kids are in the sandbox playing, and there's only one bucket. So they're all going to fight over the bucket. So we kind of see that same thing in the, our industry here in Ohio. Now, our cannabis community, we get along well. The consumers and the patients and so forth. We have home grow, et cetera. We still have access to $4 to $5 billion illicit market cannabis. We've had access to Michigan and New York and so forth. What we have a problem with is some of our license holders in that sandbox, as you say, they want to dominate. They don't want to let the child sell lemonade on the corner.
Right.
You know, no, oh no, not, unless I get a cut on that, they can't sell lemonade. Am I vocal? Yeah, I'm very vocal. And that's my whole goal of doing what I do. Most of it is primarily criminal justice reform, a new business industry in Ohio to create jobs for people, to bring more tax dollars to the state, which I really hate that after what just happened to Michigan. And we actually have a tax bill here in Ohio trying to increase taxes on some of the product or on the products and so forth. But yeah, I believe that we should all be able to play fair, especially in this industry.
Right.
For as long as we've been around and, you know, the national movement that's happening, you just got to let everybody, you know, Ray Kroc with McDonald's, Wendy came in for Wendy's hamburgers and everybody else came in and played. They weren't trying to terminate each other. You know, they're trying to do who's got the best burger, who's got the best market.
Or restrict who can grow the cattle or restrict who can process the beef.
Correct.
Or restrict who can recipe the hamburger and who can retail the hamburger.
Exactly.
And that's the insanity of the cannabis industry as it is occurring right now, state by state. And there's very few people that reflect upon that.
Right.
You know, and there's people that understand it clearly. But you also got to do your job. You got to pay your bills and all that kind of stuff. Me, I like to talk about it as much as possible because it's a big underlying undercurrent, but what do you call it above, but undercurrent of the development of this industry,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's actually one of the things that I find more interesting.
Yeah.
Because I think it really kind of defines, I mean, and I don't know where you stand on this stuff, but I think you're with me philosophically on the whole concept, but I think it really defines, who we are.
It does,
you know, and I'm an American. I believe in free enterprise. I believe in opportunity, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I, like, you know, bleed for the poor,
right?
But you know, or bend over backwards. You know, I'm wearing a jacket that I could probably not wear, sell it for $10 and give it to some homeless guy.
Exactly.
But I'm an ordinary guy, you know. But if you don't see that, if you don't see it, and it's just right there in your face in the cannabis industry every day, you're dealing with it every day.
Every day.
And what kind of human are you?
Yeah, every day. You know? I'm the type that I think everybody should be given the right. This ain't about race, ethnicity, gender, or whatever. It's about a community. It's about a new industry and giving everybody an opportunity to be able to participate and understand the banking laws and all of that. And some people have money, some don't have it. I don't have a money for a $2 million dispensary in Ohio. But why can't I go to a bank and say, hey, here's who I am, here's my credit history and so forth. There's a bank or there's a dispensary available, or I want to apply for the license or whatever. Can you financially help me? Read an article the other day in the U.S., I believe it's $54 billion. The cannabis industry is in debt. To me, that's
I believe that
as much money that's out there to be made. That's really not a whole lot when you think about it, but it's the fact that we're in debt when the, you know, they shouldn't be. There should be, you know, a fair pay. Like you go to a bank in Ohio as a cannabis company, they're going to want, you know, 3-4 times more interest on the money and managing your money than if you're just a normal business. So there's a lot.
You've finally broken loose from work. 3 friends, 1 tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
A lot of discriminatory factors there as well, but no, I'm totally in agreement with you. I'll do the same thing. Not only give the homeless guy my jacket, but probably my t-shirt as well.
Yeah.
That's just the way, you know, my wife and I are. We even actually have little homeless packages we carry in our car that we hand out to people. So I'm all about working with whoever it needs, and I'm for the betterment of the industry as a whole, for the market as a whole. It's just sometimes you got to pull some of them kids out of the sandbox and you got to scold them.
Well, everybody knows you. You know, you're very, very well known in the Ohio community, and I know you as one of the experts here. So we really appreciate you taking time to update our audience as to what is going on in Ohio. Getting back to the pragmatic reality, what's hot in Ohio? Brands, manufacturing, cultivation, retail?
What's hot in Ohio right now is really what's going on at the State House. There are, you know, certain brands that people seem to go towards. I believe organics probably are maybe leading the way. We do have the pre-rolls out. I don't know. Some companies are doing pre-rolls. Some companies are still afraid to get into it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you got to pay $10, $15 for 1 gram pre-roll. You know, people, you know, the consumer, the patient, whatever, they're kind of hesitant about it since, you know, we're a very large home grow community that loves to share. You know, right. We love to gift each other and so forth. So our biggest problem in Ohio, and I know it's been repetitive and I've probably heard it from all, is just pricing at this point. And yes, I understand from a business perspective, I've been there, business people have bills to pay too. Okay. You can pay bills and still make a living, but you can sell, you know, a whole bunch of cheap cars over here or one big expensive car over here. So I'm going to keep selling a whole bunch of small ones.
Yeah.
I got a turnover. I got more money coming in. And they're Ohio, as far as the pricing, everybody thinks the state regulates it. They have nothing to do with that. That the owners regulate the pricing. So there's nothing to say that
right.
We don't have to sell an ounce of flour for $400 to $500.
Well, the state does regulate the pricing inadvertently or intentionally by limiting the amount of competition.
Yeah, you could say that. They do. That's true, because we're not like Michigan, an uncapped market where prices are down, you know, $100 or so for an ounce of flour. You know, here in Ohio, it's like, well, you know, we want $400 for this ounce.
Right.
Well, the consumer in Ohio is going to say, look, there's other places to get it. We had to get this before you came. Yeah, and that's why we spend $70 million a month in Michigan. Ohio does.
See, now I wish, well, who owns a... all the dispensaries there, right there on the border.
Who owns them?
Michigan.
You know, and that's Michigan. They have turnover in licensing and so forth. They're a whole different structure than Ohio, though. But that's the biggest gripe that we hear from the cannabis community, that, you know, the patients and consumer, is that the pricing, I don't want to pay $400 for an ounce of flour. I don't want to pay $80 for a gram pen. You know, I don't want to pay $60 for some gummies in a package when I can drive north into Michigan or drive over to the Indian Reservation in New York and just buy, you know, take that money over there and, you know, you get tenfold what you would buy here in Ohio. But so I think our license holders, I agree, if, you know, if it was uncapped, we would probably be different.
I'm pulling something up. Keep going. Sure. Keep going.
Yeah, we just, I think they'll eventually start picking up to the fact that the amount of consumers and consumption we have in Ohio, if they come down to the consumer's price, you know, if I go into a store, if I can't afford the prime rib, you know, I'm probably just going to buy the round steak.
So I have often have more sympathy for carpenters, cobblers, et cetera, than for the whole stupid, supposedly civilized herd of windbags known as cultivated people. That is something that's Frida Kahlo, right? But that reminds me of all the legislators, all the regulators, and all these people that are out there saying that they have the best solution for what a market structure should look like. You know, if it doesn't work as a business, it doesn't work as a business.
Yep.
Cannabis is not going to go away. Somebody's going to figure out how to grow and sell it if you just let it be like dirt.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people go, I can't sell dirt because there's too much competition.
Right.
You know, okay, well, fine. The dirt isn't a business then.
Right.
But cannabis will be just fine.
Exactly.
And it's a shame that the cannabis plant has to deal with this nonsensical reality that all these windbags have created.
Yeah.
But I like that you're straightening it out.
Yeah.
You know?
It's very true. And I've always said that.
You like maybe Sir Frida Kahlo?
Yeah. There you go. you know, I've always felt Hello. That way that, you know, we, as I said, we've had cannabis before the market was brought here. We'll have cannabis when the market goes away. So it's up to the state and the license holders to actually decide whether or not the program survives or if programs fail. Cannabis isn't going to go away, though.
Yeah.
But it's in my heart, what I think of is, you know, I want that license holder to have a job, to have a company, because they provide jobs for other people.
Right.
You know, they give them a life and so forth. And, you know, I really don't care if the state gets tax dollars from it. I don't think they should do that. My opinion, it should just be treated as a, you know, a medical product as is, you know, and no taxes on the thing.
Yeah. Are there a medical patients tax? Is medical cannabis tax in Ohio?
In Ohio, we're actually a Schedule II for cannabis for patients. We don't have to pay the adult extra 10% right now.
Right.
Which we could be seeing that. And that's just the off of the issue too. Now you got to add another 18% of that from local taxes. So we're up into the low 20s for taxes right now. But And we have a bill at the State House. If it gets its way, we could be seeing another 3% added on, if not more. So we could be up to the 30-35% by the end of this year.
That's one of those things that I'd qualify as those windbags. There seems to be a ongoing theory that 25% is the magical number to tax at. And says who?
Right. Well,
we just know.
I don't think it was issue two using, just like alcohol. I don't think that was the best slogan to use. They're not comparable at all, but I understand what they were trying to do legislatively, tax-wise and so forth. But if you think about it, tobacco products and alcohol products, they're drastically tax. That's why you pay so much on them. So the state generates all that money. I don't think it's fair that now that they start trying to do that to the candidate, they want us to pay for everything. They want us to pay for, the casinos in Ohio, they get addicted to gambling. Well, we're supposed to pay for the rehab for these people that are addicted to gambling. We're supposed to pay for what Big Pharma has done, addicted people. Not what I don't believe the intention should be, but unfortunately, lawmakers do what they want to do, when it comes down to that.
You know how I see the global cannabis industry? Like an eagle waiting, trying to fly, lifting its wings, but it has all these little anchors, little weights from these fishing wires that are attached to it, because of all these people with all their ideas as to how the eagle should fly or shouldn't fly. And if the government and the people would just get out of the way, imagine what would happen if the eagle just flew.
Yeah, I think this industry
it would just happen.
Well, it's like
that, I don't even do shrooms. Now the problem is, if I did mushrooms, I would see that eagle flying.
Okay.
And then I'd get all like, I'd run and chase after the eagle and stuff. People are like, dude, you're weird. It's like your metaphor has become a reality in your mind. So that's why I don't do drugs.
Yeah. Well, just let the, let the industry be the industry. Let the market be the market. I understand if you want to make, the state's got to make a few dollars, but put it back into the market.
Yeah.
Do that. Make Big Pharma pay for Big Pharma. Make the NRA pay for the NRA. Make the gambling pay for the gambling,
Yeah.
You create the problem, you clean it up.
I like logic.
So
I like logic. But let me start on Big Pharma. I'm not a big fan. Synthetic anything is just a bad idea.
You're typically correct here on that. So
I was hoping RFK and Trump would just take Tylenol off the market.
Yeah. Well, we just want what's here,
There are traditional remedies for flu. Flu's been around much longer than the government and Big Pharma and Tylenol.
Correct. Sorry. Well, and science is science. So, we have to look at that, things that are science-based, not politically motivated-based, political pandering and so forth. And we see so much of that, clear across the country, not just in Ohio. And that interferes a lot of times with any industry, can, cause pejorative results, from what may happen.
Well, I like talking to people like you because you're principled, but you're also grounded in reality. You help me hang on, which is good. My mind is no longer grounded in pragmatic reality that much, but I do really, how do people get in touch with you? Because if they're going to come to Ohio, if they're going to do something in Ohio, whether it's a brand, a manufacturer, a cultivator, a retailer, or consumer, patient, they should be in touch with you and in touch with your group and have conversations with you if they want to figure out what's going on.
The easiest way to get a hold of me is just go to cannabissafetyfirst.com. My email's on there. My phone number's on there as an industry consultant. One of the creators of our medical program and our hemp program, a political advisor on our current adult program. That's the best way to get a hold of me. What I would suggest if you want to get involved politically or legislatively at the State House, it's legislature.ohio.gov. You could track bills, track committees, track legislators in there. And we currently have 7 bills at the State House that are active. I don't know how many will be addressed this second half of the year. A lot will probably be carried over into the next year, but a lot going on. 2 hemp bills and 5 cannabis bills. So
we didn't even talk about the hemp cannabis thing, but I'll let that be a reason why people reach out to you because that hemp THC marijuana thing is happening at state by state level. And it has its own circus and dynamics in the state of Ohio. And I'm certain that you know more about it than anybody else out there, right?
Just throw a quick shout out there. I won't give names or nothing, but a law firm I consult with, we actually just lost a hemp retail case on Monday in court where the individuals that owned it ended up getting 3 years of probation and a felony 5 conviction versus going to prison for 15 years. And this is over a small rural community that the judicial branch in that community were unaware of the 2018,
yeah,
7 years ago, Farm Bill Act. So they went after him for the hemp. They called it marijuana. And of course, they had some of your favorite things, the mushrooms.
Yeah.
They weren't real mushrooms. They were gummies with a chemical infused in them. And through the, you know, law enforcement testing lab, BCI, they came back and said, well, these are positive for this, and the hemp is positive for cannabis. So here's your 21 felony charges. So to the hemp people out there in Ohio, I know there's like 1,500 retail stores. Just start paying attention to what you're doing. There are chemical structuring. I'm not a scientist, but things that happen after a product sits on a shelf for so long.
Great.
You purchase it with a good COA, good faith, sits on your shelf for a little bit. Next thing you know, you might be looking at a felony.
Anyone who wants to get into involved in Ohio cannabis should talk to you first. Hopefully they'll say, I want to pay you a retainer and not just say, I want to get 15, 30 minutes worth of free information. So, but you can handle your business the way you need to. And by the way, last thought, I discourage the use of all substances, but I encourage the use of all of mushrooms for a lot of people. So they're
not a good
so they're active. Perception can get to where my imagination has taken me through experience and travel. So anyways, it's great to see you again. And remember, this is the man. This is the organization. When you come to Ohio, if you're going to do business in Ohio, talk to him first. And thank you for catching up with us. We'll probably see you next year.
Good thing. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to see you.
Great to see you guys.
Hey guys, it's me again. Shout out to MJ BizCon, the biggest cannabis conference happening in Las Vegas, December 2nd through the 5th. We're building out our manufacturing and distributing project, creating real opportunities for brands and operators to connect and grow. If you want to get involved, reach out and be a part of it. It's going to be the hot market area. And that was another episode of Meta Unshackled. Thank you, Jack Herrera Brands, Kelly FX, and Karma Cannabis Insurance. See you guys on the next episode.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.